Welcome to The Point. I'm Indy Todd. Today it's Ask the Manager. Joining me is WCAI News Director Steve Junker. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Mindy.
We want to talk about some changes and also hear from you, your questions, comments, or suggestions about the programming you hear. Our number is 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We begin the fact that today is Monday and you are not hearing Living Lab Radio. Heather Goldstone is beginning a new chapter in her life as she returns to science and, in particular, an issue she is very passionate about, and that is climate change. Heather is here. Good morning.
Hi, Mindy.
Happy New Year. I know your many fans want to hear all about your new job and the decision to leave WCAI.
Yeah, absolutely. This definitely feels a little odd, but yep.
You're not in your chair.
You're on the other side of the table.
That's on the other side of the table. Receiving end of the questions. But good to be here. Yeah, this is definitely a big change and a bittersweet change. You know, when I came to radio from science just over 10 years ago, it was because I realized that what I loved about science more than actually doing it was actually just kind of wrestling with the questions and the stories that come out of the endeavor of trying to do science. And that's what brought me here to WCAI. And for about a year and a half, some folks may remember, I wrote a blog about climate change.
Right.
And that was Climatide. And that was really my own crash course, first in climate science, because I was not a climate scientist when I was in science. I was a molecular biologist. And toward the end of that, more than writing about climate science, what I was really researching and writing about was the phenomenon of science denial. And obviously, it's very obvious in the public discussion about climate change, but it's a much broader problem. Mm-hmm. And so my idea in launching Living Lab Radio was to try to talk about science on the radio in a different way and really experiment with the emerging body of research on how best to talk about science and get around or through or over science denial. And I feel like we've done a lot of that over the past 10 years. And at the same time, we haven't made a lot of progress on responses to climate change. And so I also was definitely at the end of a year and a half of writing about climate change full time. I was just feeling burned out by climate change. I felt like I needed a break and something broader. And at this point, I feel like I'm ready to come back to the issue of climate change full time, better equipped with 10 years, 7 years of Living Lab Radio of thinking about how do we talk about this more productively. And at the same time, have spent the past few months frequently driving down Woods Hole Road. For those who know Woods Hole, right? You pass Woods Hole Research Center on your way to WCAI and thinking to myself frequently, if I'm not spending all of my day on climate change, what am I doing? And so this opportunity just kind of came at the right time and is really exciting.
So you're going to be joining Woods Hole Research Center. And what will you be doing?
I'm going to be leading communications. It's going to be a multi-part job, but in part leading the communications team there and also a bit of a spokesperson for the center, filling in when President and Director Phil Duffy's not available or the scientists are already busy with what they're doing. So.
Yeah. And I'm going to read a couple of emails. We've gotten a number of emails and, of course, phone calls. And these are a few, I think, that kind of sum up what some of the listeners have been thinking about. Hi, Heather. Congrats on the new job. We will miss you. I thought I hated science. And then I moved to the Cape 7 years ago. I love the natural beauty and wanted to understand more about what I was looking at. Living Lab became one of my favorite shows. I found myself doing more research on topics presented. I didn't feel like a dummy anymore. Biology and science of things made sense. They fascinated me. I really appreciated how you explain things. I heard you a couple of weeks ago on Science Friday, and I thought, uh-oh, she's really good and on the national level, too. I hope she doesn't move on for my sake. I'm very happy for you and your new job. And that is from Jennifer, who, thank you, Jennifer. And she's up for a lot of people who are, you know, we have a lot of science listeners here, but I think that was one of the beauties is that you can speak to both audiences. You know, it's understandable to the layman, but also makes it's not, you know, talk downing to the scientists.
Hear Jennifer say that she thought she hated science is and enjoyed Living Lab is the ultimate praise for me, because that's really what I always wanted to do with my journalism, was to say science is not just for scientists. Science is for everybody.
Right.
It is curiosity. It is how we learn about the world. And somehow a lot of people have gotten this idea that science just isn't for them.
Yeah.
Right? It's for somebody else. And I just... Yeah.
Yeah. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. And Barb says, I was shocked and almost terrified when I heard a clip of Living Lab in my car that today was the last Living Lab episode. I've always loved the show, the variety of guests and topics, and your interview style. Luckily, I heard the replay and the news that you'll be pursuing deeper dives into climate change issues, climate change and how to address it is a major concern of mine. So I'm eager to hear what you'll be doing next. Thanks, Barb, for that. And then finally, Dan says, I'm going to miss Living Lab. It's been interesting to see Heather's evolution and the evolution of the program. Good job, Heather, and producers. The last interview with Steve Kerr was really great and maybe hopeful. So, lots of nice thoughts there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I have to say, it's not as if...
You'll be down the street.
Well, I'll be down the street. And more importantly, I think, is the fact that WCAI as a station has always been so dedicated to science coverage.
That's, from day one.
I mean, that's how I even got this opportunity, right? I walked into the station with no radio background, no journalism background, and said, hey, do you want a science reporter? And the response was, sure, we'll teach you.
Yeah.
Right?
And when Climatide, when we went, oh my gosh, we have this, you know, scientist who's also a journalist and can explain, what are we going to do? And so when the idea of Living Lab came up, we were like, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, and at this point, right, we've got Eve Zuckoff, our climate change reporter. Science and environment issues have been a big part of what Sarah Mises Tan has been reporting on. It shows up in the news shows, in newscast. I think there's a real dedication and ethos and curiosity about science that pervades everything at WCAI.
We will miss you. And I think what a lot of people maybe behind the scenes, a lot of people don't know is happening behind the scenes is that you're such an asset for staff and listeners because you've been covering this region for so long and in such depth. The environmental stories that come up, you have probably covered them in several different iterations whenever we're trying to figure out, you know.
Careful, Steve, you're going to make me sound old.
Not at all. You've just got this depth of knowledge that we can draw on each time there's a story, whether it's about the ponds and the difficulty keeping the algae out of the ponds, the local ponds. I'm just thinking of all the different stories that we reported even this year that we turn to you and say, Heather, there's this right whale story. What do we need to know about the background here? And you can pull that background out and really point us in so many good ways. And listeners don't necessarily hear that on the air.
Yeah, I was going to say, even before Living Lab, back with Climatide, maybe even before that, I remember we go, Heather, what does this study mean?
You know, right. Heather,
and I imagine we're still probably going to be giving you a few phone calls.
Like you said, I'm just up the street, but I think there are a lot of people in the building at this point who can
have a better understanding.
Who hold this on their own at this point.
You have helped the station grow in that way, too. Yeah. So it hasn't just been you yourself doing this, but you've kind of created an environment here at the station where science reporting is held in high esteem and continues to grow. And we have a wider base now, as you say, with Eve and with Sarah and just the newsroom sort of focusing on science as one of its beats almost. Yeah.
For that matter, I mean, people may not know that Catherine Ident has a background with Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution as well, right? Has, unlike me, has actually been to sea on a research vessel. And so, yeah, there's plenty of science knowledge and curiosity around the station.
And now that we've been around for a few years, you have a little bit more resources to tap in on. All right, Heather Goldstone, going to Woods Hole Research Center. Best of luck. And, you know, as we said, we'll miss you.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm going to miss you guys too, but just up the road.
Yes, up the road. Let's ask the manager this morning. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Well, you know, coming up at 10 o'clock, we have this show called 1A. And, you know, when Diane Rehm left, we were all, oh no. And Joshua Johnson came in and just, he did such a great job and was such, you know, very different, of course, than Diane. And I've enjoyed listening to him. And of course, now he's moving on. Joshua's going to MSNBC. He's already gone. Mm-hmm. So Todd Zwillick is filling in until a permanent host is named. And I wonder how folks are feeling about that, too. You know, I mean, there were a lot of folks who go, oh, I can't listen with Diane gone. And then they became Joshua Johnson fans. And hopefully we'll have that same thing. I think 1A does a great job, especially on Fridays, following the news around.
A lot of it's going to depend on who they find to fill Joshua Johnson's shoes and sit in his seat. And they haven't determined that yet.
No, the search is on. So if you know somebody.
but they I think they realize what an important program it is and what they have have there. Yeah. And they're really looking to find somebody to pick up that voice and carry it forward.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, you know, nothing is forever, right? You know, I mean, people come and go. And especially bringing it back to local level and, you know, like Heather, you know, we get young people in here. We get people who are sort of at the end of their careers and people who are at the beginning of their careers. And people who are like, Heather, we're kind of in the middle. You know, she was science 10 years, journalism 10 years, and now going back to science. So you have to expect some turnover. And you don't know, sometimes a show could be very popular and all of a sudden it just goes out of production for, could be many reasons. Right?
I think a lot of times you're a victim of your own success.
Yeah.
You do something so well that it's time to move on or to grow into a different field. That's great.
Yeah. And so we have another show going out of production, which is Studio 360 going out of production this month. And that was a little bit of a surprise to me because it's kind of popular and, you know, they do a good job.
It seems like it's been there forever.
For a long time. Yeah. You get used to it. You say, oh, well, that's not going anywhere.
It comes out of WNYC or did for a long time. Yes.
Yeah. And so Studio 360 going out of production. So we have decided to replace that on Sunday afternoons at 4 with the program Reveal. We had Reveal airing, I think, in an awful time slot where there aren't a lot of listeners. So we're hoping to give Reveal a little more.
People might not know that we actually
air that
program.
People, will you air Reveal? Well, we do, but now it'll be in a better time slot. So we'll have Reveal Sundays at 4. And, you know, Thursday afternoons at 2, where we were rebroadcasting Radio Lab, and we will be broadcasting our Radio Lab instead of Studio 360. And that was we're all about experimentation, aren't we, Steve? I mean, we do lots of experiments here. And that was when Talk of the Nation went out of production.
I was going to say, when Talk of the Nation, which was such an anchor in the midday, went away and with Neil Conan.
Yeah.
And there's this question, what were we going to do in the middle of the days now?
Yeah.
And we started experimenting with putting some of those weekend programs.
I think that was Jay Allison's idea. You know, he said, why don't we, you know, rebroadcast? Not everybody listens on the weekend. Why don't we take some of the best of the weekend and rebroadcast that at 2 o'clock. So that's what we do Monday through Thursday. And then, of course, Friday we have.
And you think of some
Friday.
Of those programs, The Moth, Hidden Brain, they're just, they're Hidden such Brain, great programs. Oh you don't gosh, want them yeah. lost on the weekend. All
yeah. Hidden Brain's one of my new favorites. Yeah.
And science,
right. Yes, right. He's just, again, he just finds the most interesting topics and people to talk to.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, and that started as a podcast. Mm. Yeah, and now I don't know how many radio stations are airing it now. And what are your thoughts about Hidden Brain? Listeners, do you like what are some of your thoughts on your favorite programs and some of the changes you're hearing here? 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. You can also send us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. That's always, you know, when a show goes out of production, or as in Heather's case, you know, leaving, we just can't continue Living Lab. We don't have another Heather Goldstone. So it's going to be The Point going forward. We should mention that. But a point with a little different twist, Steve. We're going to do another experiment.
We're experimenting, like you say. We're going to just take it. Well, like, tell a little bit about what the thought process
is. Well, the thought process was, you know, producing these shows takes a lot of time to, you know, especially what Heather was doing with sometimes 5 segments, Heather, right?
4 most of the time, sometimes 5.
And it's not live. It's produced, it's edited, and takes a lot of effort and a lot of time. And, you know, The Point, we have Amy Vince, who produces The Point, who is part-time. So it's Amy and I together. And then as my job as director of editorial, I have all these other responsibilities, basically everything except, you know, the development side. So, yeah, the toilet's broken. That's me, right? So, so it's tough. So we thought, well, why don't we try something that isn't highly produced? So Steve and I are going to host Mondays together. With a little more, a little looser format, a little more talk. Hopefully, listeners will. We thought we'll give the opportunity for listeners to kind of say what's on their mind.
We're Doesn't hoping to, people are going to call in. We'll have some conversations for the Cape and Islands
exactly.
and South Coast. Really.
And we'll start some topics off, but we can go anywhere. I mean, it'll be just sort of a what do we want to talk about today? What are people talking about? And hopefully, generate some conversations there. We'll see if it works. If it doesn't, we'll move on to the next experiment. That's what experimentation is all about.
You think about a program like Living Lab, it was so much grew around you organically. And you can't just kind of put a new person in there. It really was catered to you and your strengths, and you carried it so well for so long. Well, and I was thinking about how you really focused on the intersection of those science stories and human stories. Yeah. And I think that's what made people respond so much and made it so not intimidating to listen to science.
Yeah, that was one of our strategies, I think, was to always try to figure out, okay, what are people already talking about? Kind of like what you're saying,
yeah.
Mindy. You know,
what are you talking about?
What are people already talking about and thinking about? What was the biggest news story this week? What could scientists bring to that that maybe you haven't already heard already? So you already have some grounding in the story. You feel like you know what that news story was you'd been hearing about all week. Well, let's just give you a different perspective on it. So trying to meet people where they already were and add a little science to that, not trying to draw people, hey, look, over here, there's this science thing. And
Are there a couple of stories that you look back on and you think, boy, we nailed that one. That was great. that was pretty good.
Or lucky timing. Yeah,
yeah, oh, right.
Yeah. We definitely had some lucky timing. We unfortunately, in a couple of cases, I remember one, you know, we're trying to be timely, but also, as you said, Mindy, a pre-recorded show that was airing on Sunday and Monday, kind of talking about the previous week. And there was one that was really unfortunate that there had been a mass shooting one weekend that had continued in the news until Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of that week. And we had a researcher coming on to talk about, I think that one in particular was, I can't remember if that was the copycat effect or if that was one of our other segments on mass shootings. And unfortunately, then the Saturday night of that, the weekend that the show was going to air, Sunday in Boston and Monday here, there were two, I think, more mass shootings. And so Elsa and I were in here Sunday morning. I think we had about 2 minutes to spare before the show went out on the air at noon on WGBH, rewriting the introduction to take into account those more recent events and kind of reframing things. You know, the conversation was what it was, but explaining, okay, well, when this doesn't seem to make sense, that's because we recorded it on Thursday. So there were definitely times when things were maybe even more timely than we realized. But I have to say, and I think our final show really reflected this, for both Elsa and myself, when we looked back, grabbed the calendar, Elsa literally has these, you know, like wall desk calendars.
So one of the most organized people on the planet. Mm-hmm.
With every single show for the past 3 years since she joined me, with the topics and the guests for every single show written in there on every Monday. So we were able to just kind of flip through this calendar and be like, oh, remember that, remember that. And frankly, the ones that stuck with us the most tended to be the least timely ones. Mm. They were the most evergreen, just talking about, in a lot of cases, kind of the human condition. Mm. I mean, the hidden brain is a great example, right? You can't get enough science of the brain because we all want to understand what on earth is going on in between our own two ears. Mm. And it doesn't always make a lot of sense. Right. And so some of the things that really stuck with us were, you know, a conversation about why nature makes us happy, or a conversation with Jon Kabat-Zinn about mindfulness-based stress reduction and the changes in 40 years in the body of research on mindfulness, daydreaming, you know, why daydreaming might be important. So actually, I think a lot of the neuroscience, psychology stuff kind of bubbled up for us.
Yeah. You're listening to The Point. Today is Ask the Manager. With me is WCAI News Director Steve Junker. We want to talk about changes, but I also want to hear from you, your questions, comments, or suggestions about the programming that you hear. 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. I have an email here from Bonnie who says, I am curious as to where Mr. Morris is these days. Haven't heard him recently. Mm-hmm. Brian Morris, who has been with us for a long time. He was host of All Things Considered, decided that he wanted to, like Heather pursuing her passion for climate change. Brian is an amazing musician, is very into the music scene, and he wanted to, you know, freelance and do some more of the things that he really loves working on. So, but that doesn't mean you will not ever hear Brian. Brian is still a fill-in for us, a freelancer. So from time to time, you will still hear Brian on the air with us. And that was another, we're talking about lots of departures this morning. But
going hand in hand with departures are arrivals. And
that's right.
When Brian left, we got a new All Things Considered host here, John Basile, who's been just great energy to come into the newsroom. John, longtime Cape newsman.
Yes.
And with real deep roots, especially in the mid and lower Cape, covering that area. So it's been great to have him come in the door and right from the get-go start generating news, and he's a great voice on the air.
Yeah, and John, he has a history of radio long, long time ago, and then he went into the newspaper business for almost 30 years. So, yeah, like you said, a lot of news experience. It was like getting back on that bicycle, though, right, to you know, get the engineering part down. And
people don't know, they don't see what's happening here. John isn't just reading the news.
No.
When the newscast comes, you know, he's running a big board in front of him with lots of sliders and faders and buttons. And you have
computers.
And you have to watch the clock that's going on, because
right.
The newscast actually is exactly 2 minutes and 10 seconds. And then you have to push a button to play a thunder. And it's very, there's
yeah.
a lot of technical stuff happening. And then you have to read as if nothing is going on. As if it's just you
just
sort
just
of
you doing
reading
that, yeah.
the news. Yes.
And, you know, John also, as a musician, and has some real interest in local music, and so be listening. He's working on a new feature series where he's going to be talking to local musicians, which is something we've been wanting to do for a while.
Yes, and this is another area of his strength. It's great to have people come into the station that have their own interests and passions and bring them in for our listeners and for the rest of us. And he's a musician and loves talking to musicians, and so
he
we're thinking
about wrote a book
about,
too about
wrote a
the
book
history
about
of
the
jazz,
Cape music
yeah.
scene. Yep. And so we're looking forward to hearing him have some conversations on air with local musicians.
And while we're talking about local music, that's another effort that we've been doing. As we have local musicians in through the station, they oftentimes they give us their CDs, and or we have clips of things that we play on the show. And we've been talking about trying to replace some of our music library with more and more local music rather than, you know, we still have, obviously, we don't have enough to do the whole library in local music, but we're working towards that. And we're talking about, you know, maybe adding, especially in the automated hours overnight where there isn't a lot of other content, you know, for the breaks, maybe doing some, you know, little clips of local music. You know, this is, you know, artist so-and-so from, you know, Brewster or wherever. Local musicians, if you have some thoughts on that and you'd like to share some of your recorded music with us, you know, let us know. We'd love to hear it.
There's so much musical talent on the Cape and Islands. It's quite amazing. So this is an opportunity to sort of capitalize on some of that for everybody's benefit.
Yeah, and obviously we're not playing 4 and 5 minute songs. We're just playing like 30 to 60 seconds. So this would just be little clips, but gives people a taste of you know, what's around, and you know, maybe highlight a little bit of the local talent, if you will, across all genres, we should say. You know, we like to hear a little bit of everything.
So people should be in contact with us.
Yeah, should let us know. Absolutely. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. What's your favorite show? What shows do you maybe not like so much? Suggestions. We'd love to hear, you know, what you think. Pub nights are coming up. We don't have details yet, though.
Pub nights every winter. We've been doing our pub nights for a long time now. Appear once, have our pub nights in each different location around the region. We do an Outer Cape one, one on Nantucket, one on the Vineyard, and the Upper Cape, Mid Cape.
Yeah. So we'll see. So and those will be on our website, capeandislands.org, as we confirm where we're going. Another return, Bob Finch has returned to the Cape Cod Notebook. We're happy to have Bob back. He can be heard the first two Tuesdays of the month. While Bob's been out, we've had a series of contributors who have been rotating the essays. Mary Bergman on Nantucket, Dennis Minsky in Provincetown, Susan Muller in Quamaquid, and Nelson Siegelman on the Vineyard. And we've loved them so much that we're keeping them all.
Yeah.
So Bob's going to do the first two Tuesdays, and then Mary will do the third, and then we'll rotate the, you know, Susan and Dennis and Nelson as Nelson doesn't file quite
it's
as much.
So great
as Susan.
To hear Bob back on the air.
It is, yeah. So you know, we welcome Bob back and happy to have him. 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address: thepoint@capeandislands.org. Richard is calling from Oak Bluffs. Good morning, Richard.
Hi. I'm a visual artist from the Vineyard, and I just have a suggestion.
Sure.
When to covering the arts, I see a problem in how you pick various artists, whatever, different formats, different places where you put in the visual arts. But there's no criticism. It's more like people are picked, and it's more of a boosterism when you just sort of anoint artists and then say, this is great art and isn't this wonderful what they're doing. There's no, and I don't see that in other aspects of the program where you just ask like the hard questions or something that might bother you, or does this work or does this not work?
Yeah, so Richard, are you asking more like an art critique?
You mean not so much a critique, sort of like the back and forth of like all art is flawed, all, and it's not, if you just pick the artist and put them in sort of, it's almost like a promotion as opposed to, it'd just be more interesting to ask them.
I hear what you're saying. I would say we don't critique. Certainly, I don't have the expertise to say if a piece of art is good or bad. I can say if I personally like it, but yeah, you're right. I mean, I wouldn't have the, you know, expertise to do that. The same thing with books. You know, we have the book. We don't do book reviews. I mean, we talk about books we like, but we don't say this is what's wrong with this book, or you know, because again, you know, I think the funny thing with art is it's so subjective. You know, what a piece of art that I might think is fantastic, somebody else would say, "Are you crazy? It's horrible." You know, so I think process, though, we do talk about process, which I think maybe gets to a little of that, right?
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't necessarily have to be a hard question. It'd be like, you know, does this work in this context, or does that put a certain audience off, or, you know, it doesn't have to be necessarily a hard critique. It's more like all these things are flawed, and if you just pick them and put them in the programming and then say this is great, then it becomes a very passive.
Richard, I think those are great conversations to have, and they can be really interesting, especially when they're informed conversations on both sides, picking apart. We're talking about the strengths and weaknesses of a piece of art. Oftentimes, what you're hearing on this station are profiles, and that's kind of how they fit, and how we're bringing different artists onto the air, introducing them to listeners, bringing listeners to people's studios or where they're creating art. And it's an artist profile, and you're right, it's not criticism, but it's a chance to hear what's happening in different parts of the region from different creative people across the region. And that's kind of the mandate that we're operating under as we create those. We're not operating under a sort of judgmental criticism mandate.
And I would say sometimes, for the point anyway, a lot of the artists that we have on, there's usually either a theme to it, or it's because there's some sort of an exhibition somewhere. So in a way, we kind of feel like it has sort of gone through this vetting process by whatever organization, you know, art gallery, whatever is putting it up there. But it's a tricky question. But yeah, I think you're right. There is room for I guess more conversations, maybe on a panel. Discussion sort of thing with different artists, you know, who are maybe with different genres or something.
It does make you wonder what kind of format would be good, because we're always thinking for the radio, Richard.
Right.
Like, how do you have that conversation within the time constraints of the radio?
Yeah.
And you can't see art right on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about visual art on the radio. Yeah, it's a problem. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we appreciate it. Thanks, Richard. Thanks for the call. And thanks for your thoughts. You have thoughts, comments, questions, suggestions. We'd love to hear from you. 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Let's talk about news for
a
minute.
Let's talk about news.
That's kind of been a big thing. Go ahead.
So the story of 2019 for the station, I feel, has really been that the news stash and news coverage here at WCAI has continued to grow. And this is we're so fortunate that we have the resources, and we have that. It's kind of a mandate from our listeners. We want more local news, and we've been able to provide that. We've had, we were talking about how John Basile has come on and become our All Things Considered host, how he came out of years of newspaper reporting on the Cape. We have right now, 2019 was our first year with a full-time general assignment reporter, Sarah Mises-Tan, a first full year.
Yeah.
She came in kind of halfway through.
And she hit the ground running.
She hit the ground running, and she just covers the range of stories, whether it's the, you know, offshore wind, or it's environmental stories, or stories about equality, and just wonderful education stories. So she's done a tremendous job here. And not only the features reportings, and we talk about these stories, but she provides newscast pieces. So people might not think about this. As a listener, you might not think that there's really two ways that we cover the news here, and that's feature reporting, and then we also have these newscasts at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour, and we're always looking to fill those with local news and local voices. And this year, we've gotten really around the corner and brought a lot more local news with local voices on to the air. And some of it also, Eve Zuckoff has pitched in. She's our environmental reporter. She's feeding newscast. And our morning edition producer, Sam Houghton, has done a great job finding news and getting it on the air.
Yeah. One of the things I love about Sarah is she doesn't go for the obvious. I mean, you know, there's the news. She's like, wait a minute, everybody else is covering this angle. I want to find a different angle to this.
I think about the vaping story when there was the vaping ban, and it was kind of everybody's running around talking about the vaping ban. And she went to figure out what it means to local store owners here, and not just local store owners, the fact that many of them are minority-owned businesses, and this is disproportionately affecting this population, and she kind of found an angle into it that nobody else had, and it was fascinating.
Yeah. All right, let's talk to James, who's calling from Harwich. Good morning, James.
Good morning. You used to carry a show on the weekend called Backstory, which was a history broadcast from UVA.
Yep.
They would cover a different topic every week. I particularly remember, for instance, an episode on the history of alcohol use in the United States. Mm-hmm. And you might consider picking that show up again, though it's only a one-hour show. It will be on one day a week, so that would be a possibility to carry.
You know what, James? We loved that show, and I was very sad. The radio production of that show went out of production. It is no longer available to us.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. Right? It's only a podcast now. It is no longer available as a radio program, which is unfortunate because, I loved that show, too. Yeah.
I love A Way with Words that took its place. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, that's gone.
Yeah, me too. James, thanks for calling. That's what I'm saying. You know, sometimes you have a show that you think is great, and for whatever reason, you know, it changes direction, and you know, there you are. Let's talk to Heather, who's calling from Harwich. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Mindy. Nice to hear you and the program today. I do love A Way with Words. But in addressing the gentleman from the Vineyard, and the subject of art, I think often people are impressed that they have to critique a piece in order to talk about it other than praise it. But there are other approaches to ask the artist more about the method and the difficulties that they have come across in attaining the piece that the viewer is looking at.
Yeah.
Oh, Heather, what are some of the processes that they engage in?
Yeah, that was what I was saying. I feel like we do sort of cover that when we talk about process. So yeah, you're bringing up a good point. Yeah.
Right. And that could be delved in a little deeper, and that would be satisfactory.
Yeah. Heather, thanks. Thanks for adding your comments to that. We appreciate that.
Oh, thanks for your everything you do. Okay. And goodbye to Heather. I'll miss you terribly. Yeah.
So will we. Thank you.
Okay.
I think talking to artists about process is always fascinating because they spend so much time thinking about process. That's really what they're dwelling on so much of the time.
Well, it's also, I think, interesting to be able to talk to the artists about, because you look at a particular piece, talking about visual, and you know what you see may not be what the artist was intending. You don't know, right? I mean, like I said, it's subjective and whatever your experience, especially if you're looking at some kind of contemporary art, you know?
Also, process seems to cross over. So somebody's process in creating visual art has resonance with somebody who does writing or somebody who is a sculptor or, you know, is thinking about dance because it's that act of creativity and taking something and bringing it into this world, that didn't exist.
I'm writing that down as a possible conversation here. All right. Eileen is giving us a call from South Chatham. Hi, Eileen.
Hi. Hello there, Mindy. How are you?
Great.
And Steve as well. You guys are phenomenal, totally phenomenal, and bringing us all in today to add our 2 cents worth to the, or if we're, you know, subscribers, more than 2 cents. But we got to get back to basics, too. I have my 4 basic passions, which are the bird report, the food report, the fishing report. I have so many friends who say, "You what? You do? You don't fish? You can."
Well, you know what's so funny? I mean, there are people who don't bird but love the bird report. Yeah. So it's
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And the insight that they bring and the passion. I was listening to Mark. He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Hay and the other ladies that, you know, that,
Allie Burlow,
that program, and talking to the fellow on the boat, and it was, what's the other, the psychologist that you have on.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, rely on them so much for people, I think, to get in touch with, this is how I feel about that, but this is how maybe it really is. or maybe I could better understand someone if I heard that program.
Yeah.
You know, I think that as you talk about more in the state mental health money, you know, you're providing that mental health insight through the program,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's the 2-panel, 3-panel, it's all very valuable.
Yeah. And, no, mental health is a huge issue that we don't spend enough time talking about. So, yeah, we do that the third Wednesday of the month, if somebody's wondering about
right.
that, where we have our panel of mental
right.
health experts. And
well, I mean, entertainment
everything.
Is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's nice. But, and the other thing is, for the 4 shows that I really, you know, and I also love This American Life. I do listen mm-hmm. to that a lot. And, but for all those 4 that I love so, when I tell a lot of people off Cape, they go, oh, where's that? That about and I don't know how else you get that out there because it is pretty regional but not all the time,
right? Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are topics that other regions of the country, you know, could pick up and carry, or maybe they already do.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't think many people have those reports. I think that's pretty
it's part of what makes WCAI unique.
That's right.
We have the local food report, the bird report, and the fishing news and things like that.
Eileen, thank
you
for
also
can
I just also say that you, the news wrap up on Fridays.
Fridays, absolutely. Yeah, news roundup. Yep.
News roundup. I mean, totally. And Steve, I think I wrote to you a month or two ago. I forget who the gal was from one of the papers, and her support of the program, you know, following up on all the mm-hmm. things that she had discussed. I wrote to you, and it was great.
Yeah.
She was so knowledgeable and so, you know, to the point, as opposed to myself often. So anyway, that's what I wanted to add. To
Eileen, thank you. Thanks for sharing
all that
with us, and thanks for listening. You know, and thanks for being a sustainer. I think she mentioned she was a sustainer. Thanks for that, too. And that is one of the things our local features are what sort of set us apart from other public radio stations, is that we're kind of, you know, this little southeast corner of the
baked state. Into the character of the station. I mean, they were the things that we started with when we didn't have a lot of resources, which is just to draw on the talent and the knowledge that's here for the bird report or for the local food report or the Cape Cod notebook. And so it's great that we have them, and we've grown around them because they really helped establish the
Absolutely.
Voice of the station, I think.
You're listening to The Point, and it is Ask the Manager. With me is News Director Steve Junker, 866-999-4626 for your thoughts, comments, or questions. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Now, Eileen, the last call, I was talking about people saying, wait, what? You hear bird news and a fishing report and where is this? But the good news is people can listen to us from anywhere.
And people do.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to listen. You no longer have to just have your radio to hear WCAI. We have you can stream us on iTunes. You can stream us through third-party apps. You can like TuneIn. You can stream us through the NPR app. You can people listen to us digitally all around the world. And we kind of see those numbers. I look at our web streaming numbers sometimes, and it's so much fun to see people are listening to us in England. People are listening to us in South America.
What did you tell me this morning? 2019, we were almost to up a million page views?
Almost to a million page views on our website over the course of 2019. We've just been growing our audience both on air but also online.
Yeah.
And
it's interesting because I got an email from a woman who lived in New York, and I'm paraphrasing here because it was a while ago, where she was commenting on some of the local, you know, Cape Cod Notebook and the local features. And she was saying, thank you for being there, because in this time of this political turmoil, she just can't take it anymore. And she wants to hear some of this local flavor that we have. So that was very nice. I don't know how she found us, but she found us.
You can even listen to us on your smart speaker.
Yeah.
You know, you can get Alexa to stream us or whatever you have. So there's almost no excuse anymore.
Yeah.
And for us, in part, it's good when, you know, they do work on our transmitters occasionally, and that means we're off the air while the guys are up there climbing the transmitter tower, actually physically replacing the transmitter equipment. But it means people can continue to listen. They can stream us wherever they are.
All right, we have Daisy on Martha's Vineyard says that she'd like to hear more discussion about the local economy, specifically how millennials like herself are going to get the things their parents did, like a car, a home, and a family. These things seem out of reach to many. She describes young workers unable to save enough despite long work hours and weeks. And Daisy, this definitely is a topic, and we have had some conversations about this on The Point. But yeah,
the demographics of the Cape are very hard for younger people, and
it sure is.
It's a real just the housing market, affordable housing, what it means.
College loan debt, and yeah, it's a lot going on.
To be here, yes.
Yeah. And then Jackie called to say how much she likes the point and that she will miss Living Lab and Joshua Johnson. Jackie, thanks for sharing your thoughts with us as well. I want to go back to the news for a second and some of the, the top web stories. Sometimes they surprise us, right? And something that we did years ago will pop up again. Which is always so interesting.
This is true. And looking at the news from 2019, the top news story on our website, and I said we had almost a million page views over the course of 2019, the top story that we reported from our newsroom was the story of the chow mein sandwich, which is out of Fall River.
which is delicious, by the way.
Sarah Mizestan went and she dug this story out and found it, and she went over there and reported it, and she brought us back chow mein sandwiches.
It was so good.
And it was not just a novelty story, but really a story of cultures, which is how she unpacked it here, and about two different cultures really coming together in Fall River to create this one unique food. And it was such a success that it was picked up by the national NPR carried it, and I think CNN came in, kind of somebody there spotted
Saw it,
came in and swooped in and did their version of the story, which is always fun when you're leading sort of the media a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a great story. It's on our website, but it was, I think, one of the most viewed news stories out of the newsroom.
And, you know, I want to go back to the Roundup for a second, because that is, I think, so popular with so many of our listeners. And I remember way back when we first started the Roundup, when we had a different program director here, and he said, you wanted to do a roundup every week? There's not enough news to do. And I said, I'm telling you,
it'll be great.
And so I'm so happy that so many people enjoy listening.
And people may not know, but each week on the news roundup, there's so many stories that we don't get to talk about. I mean, there really is almost never a question of what are we going to talk about. It's how do we choose the top stories and how do we focus on those? But this past year, we've been always tinkering with the format of these things, and we've introduced a State House news segment to the roundup, and it's a way to bring a different, you know, we bring you the hyper-local, and then after we're done, you know, Joshua Johnson or whoever's on 1A now brings you the national, but we're kind of looking to go from the local to the state to the national and really be able to bring people a full picture of what's going on.
And then the international,
And then the international, that's right.
And so that's our focus, is we're really trying to do as much local news as possible. And our relationship with the newspapers are really great. I mean, I'm sad to see many of their staffs being cut, but some of them not so much. We are so fortunate to have so many weeklies.
Tremendous weeklies across, and weeklies with such a history of covering their communities, and to be able to have those folks chime in on the news roundup and bring those stories to our listeners.
And, of course, the Cape Cod Times, we've had a great relationship with them since we went on the air.
From the
beginning. We didn't have a newsroom, and we relied so much on the newspaper folks to help keep our listeners informed. So now we have this great combination of the newspaper reporters and our own news staff, which we continue to fight for, trying to get more and more resources for that. We should mention we also have our own podcast, The Forgetting, and this is going into its second season. We're already recording for the second season.
That's right. So we launched this year, The Forgetting. It's Inside the Mind of Alzheimer's. It's with Greg O'Brien and David Schenck. And if you haven't listened to it, it's fascinating.
It's compelling.
There were 13 episodes that came out this year. We're going to launch a second season going forward. And it's really about, you know, Greg O'Brien has Alzheimer's, and it's been tracking his journey into this disease, and also not only for him, but for everyone around him, what it means.
And what's going on in his mind. And
also the science around it, what they're, you know.
Yeah, they have guests.
They have guests coming on there.
Researchers, and Glenn Campbell's wife was a guest. And, you know, it's really interesting in that people go, oh, gosh, I know that's so depressing. And it is. But it's also, Greg has this great sense of humor.
Greg is an amazing
individual. It's educational.
Amazing
it's emotional.
Person.
It's humorous. I mean, Greg is one of a kind. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could tell the story as well as he does.
And this is something that's produced right out of WCAI. Yeah. And this is, again, another sort of national platform piece that comes out of this tiny little station on the Cape. It's possible because listeners support it. It's great.
Right. So more experiments that we've been doing. We got this little piece of equipment now that allows us to do live remote broadcasts without having engineers and all kinds of crazy things.
It's unbelievable how small this thing is.
It's a small thing. And
it's
all
like an
attaché
case.
Yeah, all we need is to plug into the internet, right? And that's it. And then we have our microphones and our headphones. And we did our first live remote broadcast of Morning Edition last June on Nantucket from the Nantucket Whaling Museum. It was book festival weekend, and it was great. Catherine Iden went live from there. And then we did the Point live remote at the Center for Coastal Studies in Provincetown in September, and that was great. And so,
and you did a Bird News too.
And I did a Bird News, Mark. Right? Yeah, we went instead of Mark driving, you know, from Harwich here. I went to Wellfleet. We did it from the Wellfleet Bay Wildlife Sanctuary, and that was a lot of fun. So that's something to look forward to in 2020.
We've got some ideas about where we're going to take this
thing.
Yeah.
And so we hope you stay tuned for that. And then I want to also mention we have a email. As a retired scientist, I have really loved Heather's reporting, and I'm very sad it's ending. Another science show I like but seldom hear because of its time slot is Living on Earth. Any chance of putting that in a different time slot? We'll take a look at that. You know, it's tough because the weekend lineup, unless something drops out, you know, it's a pretty strong lineup from what we can gather from listeners.
Not only that, people who love Living on Earth tune in for that
at
that 7
time.
O'clock hour.
So it would have to be a rebroadcast somewhere else, because if I took that off at 7 a.m., I'd have a lot of angry listeners. So another thing, we want to say thank you, because we tried this other experiment, this one-day fundraiser that we did instead of a week. I have to say, I was very skeptical. I was like, we're going to raise...
You're not alone in that skepticism.
Like, are you kidding me? $75,000 in one day? No way.
Yeah.
And we did it, but it's because of the listeners.
Yeah, and it's so nice to think that instead of, I won't say suffering through a week of a fund drive, but really pushing through a week of a fund drive there in the fall, we were able to do it all in just one day and get it done and get back to the kind of programming that we all tune into the station for. It was a great success. And it was, again, kind of goes to back to our idea of experimenting as much as possible and trying different things and not getting too locked into one thing. So here was something we tried, and it worked. Yeah. Great.
All right, this is from Denya. She says, I agree. Hidden Brain is currently my favorite nationally produced show. Can you put it on twice a week, not on the overnight, in case listeners can't catch it on the weekend? Mm. It does. It airs Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Wednesday afternoon at 2 is its rebroadcast. Please include more shows on mental, physical, and emotional health, particularly for your aging audience. I suspect we are your biggest supporters. WCAI rocks. Thank you for that. And this is from Irene in Wellfleet. I just wanted to put in a good word for the show that airs at 4 a.m. weeknight. Or maybe should be called early mornings, depending on your point of view. The show is called As It Happens, and as a Canadian interview show with a really wide range of interesting subjects, it can make you grateful to be awake in the middle of the night. I hope the show stays on the station, and I'm recommending that anyone awake at that time of night should try tuning it in to listen to it. Thanks so much for providing us with such an informative and entertaining public radio station. Thank you, Irene. And, you know, that came out of a listener comment. We were carrying the BBC overnight, and they happened to be putting in at that time a talk show that just wasn't an early morning show.
Right.
It was, an interviewer was kind of an aggressive style and cut people off. And we took a listen. We went, well, this is not good for 4 a.m. So we checked out As It Happens. And I'm so glad, Irene, that you agree that it works in that time slot.
And not only that, a lot of stations are carrying the BBC, a lot of public radio stations carry the BBC overnight.
Almost
everybody.
Because
it's an easy way to fill a lot of time with some informative content. But we were looking to provide something else.
Yeah.
Again,
an alternative.
And here was a chance to try. And we put it in there as an experiment. Yeah.
E-news.
E-news, everybody should be signed up for the e-news. That's my pitch for this. The e-news, if you don't know, once a week we could round up all the stories that we've been talking about on the radio, and those include features like local food report and the weekly bird report and whatever's gone in Cape Cod Notebook, and also the local news reporting. And we have so much more news reporting than ever now, and it's a great chance to get one email that brings you right up to speed with everything you might have missed, and there's links to go back and listen and easy to share. It's a great opportunity. Just go to the website. You look on the right side of the website. You'll see a sign up for the e-news box, and you just click in there, put in your information, and it only goes to an e-news list. That means we don't bombard you with a lot of other email. You're just going to get our weekly e-news. It's a great way to stay in touch with what's happening.
Yeah, and then you can say, oh, I missed that story. To go to the website. You
really
link right there.
You can't listen all the time. That's the truth. So we don't want you to miss stuff.
We'll know what you. Yeah, you'll be able to see what you missed and then click on it. All right, Steve Junker is our news director. Thanks, Steve, for being with us. And again, we wish Heather Goldstone the best of luck in her new job at the Woods Hole Research Center. Always love to hear from you. Feel free to email us or give us a call with your comments, questions, and suggestions. We are always working to make WCAI the best local public radio station it can be. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.